Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
I want to share this morning a word that the Lord has been laying upon my heart now for a little over a week. Not this past week, but the week before, I began to hear the Lord speak this to me in my prayer time, and as I would just begin to meditate upon the things of God, this word just kept bubbling up within my spirit. And the word that the Lord continued to give me is the word unprecedented restoration. I want you to write that down. And that is the title of the message this morning, is unprecedented restoration. I believe that the Lord is moving us into a season of unprecedented restoration. And now a lot of people don't understand exactly what all that entails, and you're going to see it this morning. And as a matter of fact, there are some things that are happening. You know, sometimes things begin to happen and we don't even realize that what God is doing at the present moment. And by the way, if you don't realize what God's doing at the present moment, then it'll slip right past you and you won't actually receive the fullness of what He desires to do. And so I believe that the Lord is speaking this word right now so that we can receive the fullness of everything that He desires to do within our lives in a season of unprecedented restoration. I think most of you probably know what the word unprecedented means already. It basically means never been done before. It is extraordinary. It's something that is unparalleled. It's something that goes beyond what you have witnessed. It's part of the prophetic word that I even ministered, Pierce's this morning, but that began to come out of my spirit. And then I think I just prophesied it as a congregational word this morning. This word is burning on the inside of me. And that is unprecedented restoration. Listen, you may have seen God restore some things in your life in days past, but buckle your seatbelt because there is unprecedented restoration that God is bringing to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Let me get real personal. There is unprecedented restoration that God is bringing to the members of High Praise Worship Center. Let me get a little more personal. There is unprecedented restoration that God is bringing to your household, to your address, to your sons, to your daughters, and where you work. Hallelujah. Unprecedented restoration. And so let's read here Joel chapter 2, verse 23. It says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion." Look at somebody and say, "It's time to be glad." You're going to understand why he says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and begin to rejoice," because God has something to say. Listen, if you haven't been rejoicing, put on your praising clothes. Put on your dancing shoes. Put on your white glove if you have one and start moonwalking. Hear this, God has some things that he desires to do, so go ahead and start getting glad about it. Listen, if you're going to see it, you got to go ahead and begin to act like you've got it already. You got to be glad now. Amen. You don't wait till you get the manifestation. You don't wait till you see it. No, I'm glad right now, because whenever God speaks it, as far as he's concerned, it's already a done deal. Because he calls those things which be not as though they already were. In his mind, in his heart, that's already done. The moment it comes out of his mouth, it's a done deal. All you got to do is say, "Yes, Lord, receive it and believe it." Hallelujah. You'll see it happen. Amen. So he says, "Be glad then, you children." We're going to get past verse 1. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. How many can say that God's been faithful in your life? Or aren't you glad for the former rain? Aren't you glad for things that he's done in your life previously? Aren't you glad that for the time that you got saved? Aren't you glad for the time that you got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad for the miracle of healing that you experienced? Aren't you glad for the supernatural financial release? That's former rain. He's given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, get this, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. You see, what the Lord is actually saying here is this: I'm going to cause you to not only experience the former rain, but I'm going to give you a double dose. I'm going to give you the former rain and in the and the latter rain in the same month, at the same time. It's not going to be the former or the latter. It's going to be both of them, a double barrel shot, hallelujah, of my blessing and my glory is going to come forth within your life. Amen? Now, why are you preaching this way, Pastor? Because I want your faith to come to a higher level. The Bible says that faith comes by what? Faith comes by doing what? Hearing the word. So you got to hear this. You got to know that God's wanting to release, he desires to release the former and the latter rain within your life. Listen, some of you, I just, by the Spirit, I hear the Lord saying, some of you have gotten stuck in a past move and God wants to promote you. You've been living in the sixth grade and he wants to promote you into middle or seventh grade or whatever. It used to be junior high. God, you've been in the eighth grade and you've been living in the eighth grade. You've been living in middle school, but he wants to promote you to high school. For some of you, you've been staying as a senior and the Lord wants to promote you to college. And some of you have been just living, you've been living in your grandma's basement as a college student, a senior, and God wants to promote you to having a career and a job and get you out on the front line. Oh, I hope somebody's hearing me today. See, the former and the latter rain. Verse 24, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore. Look at somebody and say, he's going to restore. Look at somebody and say, he is restoring. So I will restore to you the years. Oh, I love that. I'll restore to you the years. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Doesn't matter what happened last year. Doesn't matter what happened to you 5 years ago. Hear this. God will restore to you the years back into your life. Some of you need to grab hold of this. You got to listen. You allow the Holy Spirit to make this come alive on the inside of you and bring application to you. For some of you, that means this. You've sown some wild seed in days past, and there's been a harvest of those seed. But the Lord is saying, I'm going to restore to you the years that you wasted your seed, and I'm going to bring forth a great harvest in your life. It's going to be an escalated and elevated harvest. Amen. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. I love this. What God actually says here, there's four locusts that he talks about. Swarming, crawling, consuming, and chewing. Listen, whatever has been eating on you, God's going to restore back to you whatever has been eaten up. Hallelujah. Whatever has been chewing on you. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you, if you ever say things like, man, that just really eats me up, stop saying that. Don't give power to things that are eating you up. No, God is delivering you from the eating locust. Hallelujah. The chewing locust, the swarming locust. Amen. Locust is not a good thing. You got to understand, he's speaking to a people who are, they're making their living, their livelihood is based upon agriculture. The worst thing that you can have in an agricultural society is locusts, grasshoppers. They come in and they consume, actually consuming the what's coming, the fruit of the ground is consuming money from them. Do you understand this? It's like somebody going into your wallet. So we have to make an application. What he's saying to us is this: whatever has been consuming your funds, whatever has been consuming your finances, God says, I'm going to restore to you whatever has been stolen. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. If you've had something stolen, good news, God's restoring to you. If sickness has been stealing your money, God's restoring it to you. If debt has been stealing your money, God is going to restore it to you and cancel the debt supernaturally. Well, brother, I just don't know about it. Well, it won't happen for you. It's going to happen for the people that say, yes, Lord, I receive that. Yes, Lord, I receive that. I have debt cancellation supernaturally in the name of Jesus. Now, you're going to have to do some things like manage your money. Don't go out and get in debt more. People believe in God for supernatural cancellation of debt, and then they go sign four or five notes. Doesn't work that way. Okay. Verse 26, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. But I could preach about that all morning long. We could shout and go home. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people, how many of you are part of the people of God? My people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, the church. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. I love it how he says, you're never going to be put to shame. Oh, did you hear? You'll never be put to shame. Then you shall, my people will never be put to shame. The Lord will pour out his spirit, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Look at somebody, say white flesh. Don't be afraid. Say white flesh. Say black flesh. Say tan flesh. Say red flesh. And any other flesh. Any shades of flesh. Doesn't matter what it is. He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. That's very interesting. First of all, let me just say this. This morning, we're not just merely reading a passage of Scripture, but if you actually look over in Acts 2, this is the very passage of Scripture that Peter himself preached out of. Whenever you read over there in Acts chapter 2, this becomes Peter's text on the day of Pentecost. You know, I think if Peter used it as a text, then we certainly ought to be able to use it today. Would everybody say amen? This is after people are saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he's going back here. He's reaching into Joel. By the way, just so you know this, the only Bible that the early apostles had to preach out of was what was written in the Old Testament. There was no New Testament that had been written. They had walked with Jesus, and they knew the stories and the principles that Jesus had taught. But the reality is, if you look in Peter's writing, if you look in Paul's writings, you look in James' writings, all of them actually echo Old Testament Scripture. Why is that? It's because the Old Testament, it brought forth illumination of what God was going to do in the new. Does everybody understand this? We don't take and throw the Old Testament away. As a matter of fact, Paul even said everything that was written in the Old Testament was written for our example. So we learn from the example that we see demonstrated in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, I said all that to say this, the Old Testament is just as relevant as the New Testament. And there are things that we need to see. Well, of course, obviously, we need to rightly divide the word of truth, but understand, but it is relevant, so you don't throw it, well, I'm a New Testament believer, so I'm just going to, you know, forget about Old Testament Scripture. This is a word for us today. This is what the Lord is saying right now, and it's all about restoration. Now, again, I heard the Lord speak this, and it's just been bubbling in my spirit now for close to 2 weeks. I'm bringing you into a season of unprecedented restoration. So you have to understand this. The word restore itself, it means to bring back to the original state. However, or the original condition. However, understand this, whenever you look biblically, whenever God restores things, he always brings it back to a condition that was better than the original state. How many know the story of Job? Job lost everything. Look, Job lost, I mean, literally everything that he had, everything in his possession. He lost every bit of it. But what it says is that God restored to Job, get this, double. Everybody say double. God restored to Job double. So you have to understand there is a principle that when God brings restoration, it is always better than what it was before. See, when God brings restoration in your life, it doesn't mean that he's just going to give you back what you lost. He's going to give you back what you lost with interest. It's going to be better than what it was before. When God brings restoration, that means it's going to be greater than what it was before. Now, I said all that to say this. There are some of you I know that were in different businesses whenever we had the crash. You remember in 2008, and it seemed like everything went belly up. And I know there were some people within this church that were affected by that. I know there are some people that lost some things as a result of that. But I'm here to declare to you that whatever you lost, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying He's restoring to you, and He's going to restore it to you with interest. Hallelujah. So if you lost value in your house, hear this. God's going to restore it to you with interest. If you lost money, He's going to restore it to you with interest. If you lost a business, He's going to give you a better one than what you had before. Hallelujah. Now, Tom and Tammy have given their testimony before of, they had a great real estate business, and I mean, God was blessing them in such a great way, and then the bottom fell out to the point to where they actually ended up having to go on food stamps. That's not a good place. I mean, you're talking about making six-figure income to a point to where you're now on food stamps. But I'm here to tell you that God is going to restore to them, and God's restoration is greater. It's greater than what they even had previously, and they're already starting to come into it now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And by the way, every member of this church should be rejoicing. Even if you didn't lose a dime, you ought to be rejoicing whenever your brothers and your sisters, when there's restoration coming into their hands, you ought to do a victory dance. You ought to shout, yes, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Amen? Well, it didn't pertain to me, so, like a seal, no, hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for restoring. Thank you, Lord, for restoring the batch elders, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for restoring them better than what they had before. Now, I know some say, well, that's just not my personality. Well, that's fine. Praise the Lord. God bless you. But, I'll tell you this much. Sometimes it's not about your personality. It's about how you want to release your faith. And listen, if you want a part of what God is doing, you have to see, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent, forceful men take the kingdom. So if you're going to receive the fullness of the restoration that God has for you, you got to become forceful about it. I said you got to become forceful about it. I'm grabbing hold of this in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to let it go. When the word comes by me, I got the biggest catcher's mitt that they may. Hallelujah, I'm going to grab hold of that, and then I'm going to take it, and I'm going to devour it. I'm not going to let any of it pass me by. See, God's throwing fastballs to some people, and they're letting them go by. Don't let the fastball come by you. Get your catcher's mitt out and say, yes, Lord, I'm grabbing hold of that. Amen? You have to grab hold of it. It's not going to happen just because I say it. It doesn't matter what prophet of God gets up here and prophesies and how anointed they are. It's not going to happen solely because they say it. It's because you say, yes, Lord, I'm grabbing hold of that. Receive it. The same way with the promises of God that are written in the Bible. You have to say, yes, Lord. You have to actively get involved. Yes, hallelujah. Y'all understanding what I'm saying? I'm not saying your eyes have to get big like mine did just then, but I'm just saying, won't hurt though, glory to God. Amen. But I heard the Lord say, I'm bringing you into a season of unprecedented restoration. So when God restores, it's always better than what it was before. Oh, rich is better than what it was before. It's better. It's not the same, it's better. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I know some of you, and God was really blessing you, and I'm telling you, I want to be near you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get as close to you as I can as that restoration begins to come forth. I want you to be my good friends. If you've got a friend in this church, fellow brother or sister, that really went through it at some point in time, you need to start getting near them right now. Hallelujah. That's my buddy right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to restore to them. I'm just going to get close because I'm going to get some of the crumbs. Hallelujah. At least he'll take me out to eat. Maybe he'll take me to Bonefish or somewhere, Captain Anderson's. I don't know, but glory to God, I'm going to get close to them. Hallelujah. If you got ears to hear. I hope you hear it in the right heart and the right spirit. You see, there are things that begin to happen in spiritual restoration. The first thing that he specifically says is this. He's going to send the rain and the flood. Everybody say rain and the flood. Now, you have to understand, there are measures of rain, but whenever you get, it's the same way we have here in Panama City. There's what we have, a normal rain, but then whenever we get, whenever the rainfall gets to a certain measure and a certain level and it becomes a deluge, we go into a flood stage. Things begin to get flooded, right? And that's the way it is all over, you know, anywhere just about, particularly in low lying areas and regions and, you know, wherever they are in the United States. I know not too long ago, California went through a lot of floods. You know why? Because they were getting more than just the normal rain. Oh, hallelujah. What the Lord is saying right here is this: I'm going to send you more than the normal rain. You're not just going to get the former rain. I'm going to send to you the former rain and the latter rain in the same month. I'm going to send you the former rain and the latter rain all in the same month. Let me tell you why God is wanting in this season of restoration to send the latter and the former rain at the same time. It's because he wants to send things into a flood stage. Why would God want to bring forth a spiritual flood? It's because the Bible says that when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. God is bringing a double portion rain to bring forth a flood that will be a standard that he will lift up against the enemy that is trying to come in to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. The flood is coming to raise up a standard. See, most of the time people would read that scripture, when the enemy comes in like a flood. It's not the enemy that comes in like a flood. I want everybody to hear this. It's when the enemy comes in, calm up, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Like a flood. You know what? There's one thing that man, he tries to stop a flood. He tries to keep the water from flowing. But I'm telling you, when things get to a certain level, you can't stop the flood. You can't stop the rain. You can't stop water. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord is saying, I'm bringing a flood that is going to wash away all the results, all the effects, and any kind of visible evidence that the enemy was even present. You watch 2 years from now, when you look at the Bouch elders, you will never know that they were ever on food stamps. You won't know it right now. There won't even be any evidence. The only thing it will be is a testimony of what God did and how God lifted them out of a dire situation. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not trying to just get you excited today. That's not the purpose. I want your faith to arise. Get a hold of this. Grab hold. Say, yes, Lord, I take hold of it. Look at somebody and say, I'm taking hold of it. See, what happens whenever things go into a flood stage, and although they try to build dams, eventually what happens many times is the dams break, and there is a breaking or a breakthrough within the dam. And so the flood is intended to bring breakthrough within your life. What is breakthrough? I want you to write this down. It is the sudden manifestation of that which you have released your faith. It is the sudden manifestation of that which you have released your faith for which that you have released your faith. Sudden manifestation of what you've been believing for. The sudden manifestation of that which you prayed according to Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you prayed, you believed, you've been confessing and making the declaration. But hear this, there is a flood that is coming that's going to break through whatever restrictions have been there, and God is causing the manifestation to come within your life. Amen? Breakthrough is a sudden change in the course of events. Things are going one way. It seems like there's no way to get off the train, so to speak. But God suddenly, hallelujah, there's a shifting in the tracks. There's a shifting in the direction. For some of you, that's a word for your family members. Some of you, your family's been going one way and they keep going. It's like they are, if you excuse this expression, but they're hell-bent on going the wrong direction. But I'm telling you, God is going to hop on their train, and God's going to take the tracks in a different direction. And one way or another, there will be change, and there will be breakthrough within their life. I want everybody to understand this. You can't escape my prayers. You think you're stronger than God? You may have an Apostle Paul experience, and God may have to knock you off your horse. But I'm telling you one thing, because I prayed, and I know that I prayed according to the will of God, the Bible tells me that whatever I pray in agreement with His will, that I have the petitions that I desire. It's not a question of if, the question may be when, but as far as I'm concerned, it's already done. Hallelujah. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? The moment I prayed, I had it. Hallelujah. It's mine. And ain't nothing and nobody is escaping my prayers. Hallelujah. See, my prayer is like a lasso. Woo, come on. It may take a while. You may be a big fish, and it may be here on the boat for a while, and I may be reeling you in for a while, but you're not going to break the line. You can't. I got Holy Ghost line. I've got Holy Ghost tackle. You know what? And it may take a while, but I'm telling you, you're coming in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody shout breakthrough. See, the rain comes to produce fruitfulness. The rain comes to eradicate the famine that's been in your life. Amen. The rain produces the flood that eradicates all the work of the enemy. The second thing that he specifically speaks of is in the time of restoration, there's harvest. He says the threshing floor will be full of wheat. Everybody shout harvest. I think it's very interesting. See, some of these things are already taking place, and I really believe what the Lord is wanting to do is to illuminate and us to recognize we are in a season of unprecedented restoration. Since the beginning of this year, we have had people saved, come to know the Lord every single Sunday since the first Sunday in January. And I'm telling you, I've been pastoring here for over 20 years now. And that's never happened with that kind of consistency. We've had people baptized in the Holy Spirit in the middle of worship. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Things are happening. See, sometimes we don't recognize what the Spirit of the Lord, and sometimes things that are become commonplace to us to the point to where we don't appreciate it and don't really realize that God's moving in our midst. Amen? And listen, the more you recognize it, the more you position yourself to receive a greater measure of it. I'm going to say it again. The more you recognize it, the more you position yourself to receive a greater measure of it. People saved every single Sunday. Praise the Lord. There's a harvest. Everybody shout harvest. Jesus said the fields are already ready for harvest. They're ready right now. There's a harvest of souls. Now, let me just pause here for just a moment just to, as we look at the building today, although it's a good crowd here today, you wouldn't say, well, we necessarily need to go to two services right now. But I'm telling you, hear this, we're not going to two services just to be able to handle all the people that we have now. Although if everybody showed up here, we do not have room for everybody. That's the bottom line. If everybody shows up in one service, we don't have room. And there's difficulty many times finding a parking spot. We have a plethora of issues that we end up running into. So we're making room, praise God. But hear this, it's not just for those who are already here. We're making room because there's a harvest. The Lord is declaring prophetically over this church body, unprecedented restoration. Unprecedented restoration means this, unprecedented harvest. Unprecedented number of souls being saved and being brought into the kingdom of God. Now it's wonderful. Listen. It's wonderful to have babies, and people get excited about having babies. But how terrible would it be if a mother and a father were to have a baby and then leave that baby at the hospital? How many know that babies aren't born so that they can stay at the hospital? Babies are born so that they can then be brought into a house, brought into a home, brought into a family. And hear this, whenever people are saved within this church body, we have a responsibility of bringing them in. Are y'all hearing this? Bringing them into the family, reaching out to them. And hear this, if we just continue to believe God for souls being saved, and there's an average of just two people every week. I mean, that's 100 new people at just in 1 year. Now, I'm believing for greater than that. Don't misunderstand me. But see, we don't want just to have, you know, repositioning and placement of people that are already saved. That's, you know, there may be a time for that, but understand this. We want to see the lost saved. We want to see them come into the kingdom of God and find a home. Hallelujah. Amen. This is important. So the fields are ready for harvest. We just got to go out and begin to reap the harvest. There is a financial harvest, I believe, of past seeds that have been sown. If you listen, you know what kind of seed that you have sown. And probably many of you are looking at it and say, I haven't seen the harvest. Don't give up, because in the season of restoration, hear this, harvest comes. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, he says, the threshing floor will be full of wheat. You know what it means when the threshing floor is full of wheat? That means there's not any more room. It's full. The threshing floor is a place where they actually process the wheat. Hear this. What's going to happen is you're going to have a place where it's so full, the harvest is so full, that it's going to actually take you extra time to process it. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't have time to go there right now. God is releasing, hear this, wisdom from on high that will enable us to gather the harvest. Wisdom to gather the harvest. See, there's sometimes that people are planting seed and a harvest is coming, but they're not going and gathering it. And I believe the Lord is giving us wisdom to know how to go gather the harvest. In other words, you have to cooperate with the Lord. You have to be a co-laborer with God. It's not going to fall on you like ripe cherries falling off a tree. There's still some things that you're going to be responsible for and things that you're going to have to do in order to release your faith and to receive the fullness of the harvest that God has for your life. So everybody just say, Father, I receive wisdom from on high. You see, the Bible says this, if you lack wisdom, to ask and he would give. So right now, Father, we ask for wisdom to know how to gather the harvest. Come on, just say, Lord, I receive wisdom for the gathering of the harvest. See, for some of you, that's wisdom to know how to do your job better. Wisdom to know how to advance the company that you're working with, even in a better dimension, in a greater way. So, Father, we receive wisdom for the harvest in the name of Jesus. He has a harvest for us, but we have to, by wisdom, go and gather it. Amen? The next thing he specifically says is anointing. Everybody say anointing. Because he says new wine and new oil. New wine and new oil. I love that. New wine and new oil. Not old wine and old oil. He said new wine and new oil. Look at somebody, say new wine and new oil. See, now understand that anytime that you see new wine and new oil mentioned in the Bible, it's always referring. Now, of course, in the first of all, there is a literal interpretation of what's being said. But in light of the New Testament, we interpret that in light of the anointing, a fresh anointing that God is releasing. So he says new wine and new oil. There's a new anointing. Hallelujah. Let me say it like this. There is a fresh and a different anointing. Now, I've been around long enough now to realize that what God does in one season, he doesn't necessarily just continue to do. There are changes in the seasons. And whenever seasons change, it feels a little bit different. How many know, living here in Florida, even though we don't have extremes in seasons, the reality is it feels different in summer than what it does in winter, right? When you go outside, the atmosphere is different. In the summer, the humidity is 99.9%, right? In the winter, you can get some days where there's low humidity. In the fall, the same way. And the spring, the tides are different. Everything looks a little bit different. It feels a little bit different. Understand this. Although it's a different season, yet there's still air to breathe. So understand this. With a new anointing, a fresh anointing, that things may feel a little bit different than what they felt a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But hear this. It's still the Spirit of the Lord that is blowing with a fresh wind across his body. Does everybody understand this principle? And so with every move of God, every time God begins to blow, and there's a freshness, there's something different about what God is doing things right now than maybe what it was 5 years ago. But it is no less the Spirit of the Lord. Can everybody understand that dimension? This is what he said in Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Everybody shout, new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It's very interesting. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. Look at somebody and say, a new thing. And then what he says, I'm going to make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He specifically says roads in wilderness and rivers in deserts. You know why? Because roads don't exist in the wilderness and rivers don't exist in the desert. Oh, there's some good news to you. God's going to create some things that others said could not be created in your life. God will do some things that others said were impossible, where it seems like it defies even the laws of nature. It defies all the laws and everything that all the prognosticators may have spoken to you. Hear this. God will do something new. He will do something different that's going to blow the minds of men. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, he's going to blow your mind. See, again, there's no roads in the wilderness, no rivers in the desert, but God is creating them. I believe there are created job opportunities. There are creative miracles that God is releasing. Although the doctor may have said there's no way that you can have a road in the wilderness. Hear this, God's going to do a creative miracle, hallelujah. Although he said there's no way that this thing can happen. There's no cure for this. Hear this. God will make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. There's a creative miracle that's being released. Amen. The last seven words of any dying church are, we never did it that way before. We never did it that way before. I want you to understand, whenever the Lord begins to move in different realms, sometimes it begins to affect our methodology of how we actually do things. And we have to be willing to change our methodology in order to embrace the fresh thing that God is doing by His Spirit. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying right now? You have to be willing to change your methodology. How many of you are saying, Lord, I'm willing to change my methodology? And by the way, methodology doesn't mean that you yourself, as far as your core values, what you believe concerning the Word of God and the promises of God, none of that changes. But what I'm saying is there's always room for methodology to be augmented and to be developed and be even changed to a certain degree so that we can flow to a greater degree with what God's wanting to do. You know, one of the reasons we're going to two services because we really believe there's a harvest that God has. And what you have somewhere to put people, if you really believe there's a harvest of souls that God wants to bring into this church body, we got to have a bigger place. Now, until some of you become the millionaires that's been prophesied, we're going to have to make do with the building that we have right now. Does everybody understand that? We got to make do with the building we have right now until some of you, praise the Lord, come into your kingdom, glory to God. You're on your way. The last seven words, never did it that way before. Well, I've never seen it done that way before. Well, that doesn't mean it's not God, right? Just because you haven't seen it done that. Can you imagine the people that were alive whenever Jesus came on the face of this earth? He's a blind man. Jesus spits. Oh, doesn't that sound wonderful? And then he gets in the dirt, gets it on his hands. Nasty. I wouldn't do that. Gets in his hand and he makes some spittle, right? Clay. Needs to be wet. Anointed spit. Then he puts it on the man's eyes. Can you imagine everybody? We never seen it that way before. Yeah, you've never seen it that way, but now that guy's seeing because of something that you've never seen before. And he goes and he just washes and I can see now. Now, Jesus wasn't trying to manufacture spittle. But it was something different. He was just being obedient to the Holy Spirit at the time. There were several different things that Jesus did. They'd never seen anybody healed on the Sabbath day until all of a sudden Jesus says, hey, take up your bed and walk. You're healing on somebody on the Sabbath. We never did it that way before. That's the reason you never did anything. Because you're stuck in an old way. You're not willing to move forward. You're not willing to embrace the freshness of the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do. Some of you have never even spoken to some of your coworkers. Hear this, because you've never seen it done that way before. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is getting you out of your comfort zone so that you'll begin to reach out and begin to touch some people around you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So it's a new anointing. God desires to do some things that'll blow our minds. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, don't give up. Amen. Don't let your past experience limit God's power in your life today. Amen. And what God does in this season, listen, it may be different than what he did 10 years ago. Well, I was a part of revival and this happened. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. And that was the Holy Spirit. But hear this. What God may do now will look a little bit different than what it was. Is this making sense? So many times people want to put God in a box. Now, this is what's going to happen really whenever. Well, some of those things may happen, but doesn't mean it's going to happen exactly like that. Okay? Here's the next thing. Are y'all ready? Are y'all getting something out of this? I got to move fast. Prosperity and satisfaction. He says, you will eat and in plenty. Everybody say plenty. You will eat in plenty and be satisfied. There's prosperity and satisfaction that God is bringing. You're not going to live miserable anymore. I want to say this again. You're not going to live miserable anymore. If you've been living miserable, you don't have to live another day in misery. In the days of restoration, God says, I'm going to cause satisfaction. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to be satisfied. You're not going to be Mick Jagger singing, can't get no satisfaction. Yes, you're going to be saying, yes, I've got some satisfaction. Amen. I've got a hold of the satisfier. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus is the satisfier? As a matter of fact, we used to sing a song many years ago, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. How many know there's a lot of truth in that? Only he can satisfy you. But he says this, you're going to eat in plenty and be satisfied. I love the word plenty. You know what plenty means? Plenty means you have no lack. Plenty means your cupboard is full. Plenty means that your freezers are full. Plenty means that you have whatever you have need of. Plenty means you can go out and eat if you so desire. Plenty means there is an abundance that God has blessed you with. In the midst of restoration, there's plenty. In the midst of restoration, there's no lack. As a matter of fact, God revealed himself in the word as El Shaddai. Everybody say El Shaddai. El Shaddai, what's very interesting, 48 times the words El Shaddai actually appear. Now, they're translated in your Bible as the Lord God Almighty. But whenever you see the Lord God Almighty, what it actually, the actual Hebrew there actually says El Shaddai. The Lord God Almighty. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture as God is speaking. And it says, and God said to him, speaking to Abraham, 35 verse 11, and God said to him, get this, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. That's the literal Hebrew there. I am El Shaddai. And the next thing that he says is this, be fruitful and multiply. Look at somebody, say increase. So what the Lord says is this, I'm El Shaddai, so increase. I am El Shaddai, so increase. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. Whenever the Lord speaks over you and says, I'm El Shaddai, that is your cue that he's saying, it's time for you to increase. Can I declare to you that in this season of restoration, God is shouting over your life today, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God, and it is increase time for you. Somebody shout increase. John, it's increase time. Hallelujah. Gil, it's increase time. Hallelujah. Cliff, it's increase time. Amen. Teresa, it's increase time. Amen. Libby, it's I know you work on for us and you work on a salary, but it's increase time for you and your family. Amen. I'm putting my faith out for hire. Hallelujah. We gave her a raise at the beginning of the year, but hallelujah, there's more to come for our staff. You know, our staff... I'm going to say it, hallelujah. God's going to bless this church so much, we'll have the highest paid staff in town. Amen. Amen. Why not? I tell you, God's having to work on me, not because I'm cheap, because I've always been concerned because we have family members that actually work for us. We got to be careful how much we pay family members because, you know, somebody might think da 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 da. You know what? And the Lord's been showing me and revealing to me. Oh, hallelujah. Why should we ever penalize somebody because they're a family member, first of all? There should be a reward for that, the fact that there's families that are ministers. That's part of our DNA. That's part of our... And if we really believe in prosperity, it would not be right to say, yes, God's going to prosper everybody in this church except the staff. Are y'all hearing me? So I'm making a declaration. If somebody gets offended about it, praise the Lord. In the words of my father, you can get glad in the same pants that you get mad in. I love you, and this is a hug from me to you. But I declare in the name of Jesus that this staff will be one of the highest paid staffs in all the town. Amen. Because they're worthy of it. They work hard. They're faithful. And they bless. Amen. The staff works hard. Amen. We have non-family staff here also. But I would be wrong to say, I'm believing God for you to be blessed in the head and not the tail. However, staff, stay here. We're not going to do that. Just not going to do it. Praise the Lord. Not going to do it. It's not right. And I'll tell you this much, as we begin to do that even as a church body, I'm telling you, God's going to bless this church in an unprecedented manner. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Do y'all agree? All right. I got to hurry. But understand that it's only 8 minutes till 11. I'm going through these. The next thing he says, look at somebody say, he's Jehovah Jireh. Look at somebody say, more than enough. Hallelujah. Oh, he's more than enough. Aren't you thankful he's more than enough? See, in restoration, although you're not just going to be singing, you're more than enough. More than, you know, you're gonna be walking in it. You'll be experiencing it. More than enough for me. Amen. The next thing is there's no shame. It says it twice. My people will not be put to shame. That word shame there, it literally means disappointed or delayed. Woo! Hallelujah. Look at somebody say no delay. See, whatever has been holding, been the kink in the line is being released within your life. Matter of fact, Brother Jimmy Carr, I had a word last week for your family, and I saw a kink in a hose, and I heard the Lord saying that he's taking the kink out so that things will flow in the way and the manner that it's supposed to flow, way that things, I don't even know what that relates to, but I just saw a kink in the hose, and I saw that kink being straightened out. I saw the kink being straight. See, sometimes there's kinks that get in the line, and it starts blocking the flow, but I'm here to tell to you, hallelujah, no more delay. Whatever has been restricted, restricting is being removed, hallelujah, because you're in a season of restoration. Oh, hallelujah. That's his plan for your life. The next thing, there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God. He says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen? And that's what's very interesting. Two Sundays ago, how many were here in that service? Had four people that got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wasn't at the end of the service. It was in the midst of worship. At the end of worship, four people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I think last week we had somebody get baptized. Not too long ago, we had how many? There were several youth that have been getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Was it last Wednesday? Wednesday before had youth that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, we are right now in a season where God's pouring out his Spirit. Amen? I mean, not that we don't have people any other time being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there's becoming a greater concentration. There's an increase. Amen? Amen. So God is emphasizing his desire to pour out his Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke in other tongues. Amen? God's not a respecter person. The next thing is this. There's family revival. Everybody shout family revival. He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now, if you weren't here this past Sunday evening, I'm really sorry you weren't, but I'm telling you, we had It was just a Holy Spirit explosion that happened here. And without any type of coaxing at all of a sudden, people within our youth, young people, teenagers, began to come up here. I mean, we just had, it was an hour and a half solid of just worship and flow of the Holy Spirit. But they just began to prophesy one by one. And we had those from, how old is Mia? Mia is how old? She's 14. We had 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 18-year-old, 20-year-old. CJ, how old are you? 24, 25? 22, I'm sorry. 22-year-olds. They were all these, the young people were getting up and prophesying. Hallelujah. CJ prophesied again this morning. Young people, glory to God. 22 is real young, by the way, if you didn't know that. It's real young, particularly when you get 55. It's real young. You're just a baby. 22 years old, prophesying. Listen, that's an indication. When you see young people prophesying, restoration is here. It's an indicator that restoration is here. Because in restoration, he pours out his spirit, and your sons and your daughters prophesy. There were people that prophesied, young people. I never even heard a word, them speak a word to me, and they're getting up here and prophesying. Hallelujah. I go, I didn't even know they had that in them. Where is it coming from? It's restoration. It's restoration. Look at somebody and say, it's restoration. Amen. Entire household saved, glory to God. Family revival. See, it's not enough for just you to be flowing in the Spirit. And by the way, hear this. Parents, you need to be an example to your kids. If you want your kids to be excited about the things of God, then you get excited about the things of God. If you want them to be excited about the Holy Spirit and the flow of the Holy Spirit, then you begin to grab hold of it. You begin to exercise it. You begin to do it. You begin to function in it. Amen. The next thing, signs and wonders. Everybody say signs and wonders. He says, I'll show wonders. This is, I love it. He says, I will show. I love it. I will show. Everybody shout, show. Show. Listen, time's going to come when you come to church and you're coming to the show. I said, I'm going to the show. What kind of show are you talking about? I ain't talking about a movie. I'm not talking about theater. What I'm talking about is when God begins to show off, whenever he begins to show signs, whenever he begins to do miracles. See, we used to call somebody who, you know, would do these feats. We called them a what? You're a show-off. You start doing things, you know, we call it in playing music and things like that. There were certain trumpet players that could do certain things, you know, maybe they could play real high, or maybe they could play very, you know, technical or whatever it might be. And, you know, Steve probably was one of those who could do both. But nonetheless, you know, I'm sure that the other trumpet players, Steve would get in there and start practicing. They go, show off. Show off. Listen, God wants to show off within your life. He wants to show his power. He wants to show his prowess, hallelujah. He wants to show he's greater than the enemy and anything that's tried to mount itself up against you. He wants to show off, hallelujah. Amen? How many of you say, God, show off in my life? Come on, come on, come on, lift your hand and say, Lord, show off in my life. Come on, Lord, show off in my life. Show off in my life. Do something great in my life. Show off in my life. Lord, I want you to show off in my life. Amen? Well, I didn't know God does things like that. You've been in the wrong place then. I want you to know that we serve a God who still saves, he still heals, he still delivers, he still performs miracles, signs, and wonders. He is a God, a supernatural God. And if you're just living on a natural plane and that alone, you're living way beneath the privilege that he has made available through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? He wants to show off. The last thing is this. He says there'll be deliverance. 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 Today's a day of deliverance. I believe that this is a season when we'll see people receive freedom. Part of the word of the Lord, even this morning, nobody knew what I was going to be preaching on, was actually about those, I think Pastor Paul, about those who had addictions and long-standing issues within their life, and God bringing freedom and deliverance to them. Hallelujah. Sinful habits being broken and destroyed. If you're bound by sin, you don't have to be bound any longer. The season of restoration, you can walk free, hallelujah. The anointing has come to destroy the yoke. The anointing has come to set you free and liberate you. Would everybody stand to your feet this morning?
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.